Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum to you all on this podcast day in Brooklyn, anyhow, on the 11th of May, 2013. Welcome again to another segment of Critical Discourse. The show that you hear, unique things, unique topics, we tend to push the envelope and go on the front line on issues. Folks not willing to take on. particularly in this contemporary political and social and spiritual environment. As you know, you can hear us each Saturday at 6:30 only on Blog Talk Radio. You can call the number 213-816-0356. But we're on www.blogtalkradio.com/A New Day for Al Islam. Those who received, if you have any comments or questions, criticisms, you can always go to my email address, criticalconvo@optonline.net. That's CRTICALCONV as in Victor O. at optonline.net. Well, for those of us in the United States, tomorrow is Mother's Day, that we honor, respect, or recognize our mothers and the great works that they've done. And I just say to a degree, our wives. For many of us, our wives are also mothers of our children. So, at the very least, we are cognizant of that. Many of us whose mothers are not alive today, who have gone on, passed on, turned to the Lord. And I know if you recall last year, we had a very touching show, emotional show for some. Some of us talked about our mothers, what our mothers meant to us growing up. Some of us do not have an exceptionally warm relationship with our mothers. But I think in time, there was some type of closure that was developed between some of us and the mothers. In many cases, unfortunately, may not have been as attentive. And for their children as they should have been. Later on in the show, I'm going to read a little about the whole issue of Mother's Day. And if you got the email, you saw, and you may be curious why I mentioned the Tiger Mom. Attack on a Tiger Mom. Just in brief, the Tiger Mom is that caricature of that Chinese mother who's tough and rough when it comes to children's education. And we tend to look at people from China, Japan, I guess, but more so China. It's changed to. We tend to look at Chinese students, pupils are so smart, so bright. It's almost like they're born geniuses. But you come to learn or understand that much of this can be traced to the role of the mother in terms of her foreboding and her determination that the children are going to become scientists, doctors, lawyers, what have you. But what I have been noticing recently, there seems to be an underhanded attack on the Tiger Mom. And what's even sadder is that you have some modern contemporary, contemporary Chinese that are helping along this line. Suddenly, the Tiger Mom is the cause for dysfunction in the family. Suddenly, the Tiger Mom creates a situation where the children become distant. From her. I think goes without saying there's definitely some type of scheme abound, that recognizes that China, Chinese have become a formidable force. And they have to ever so slowly whittle away at that foundation by casting an aspersion. And I can tell you, there's conversations I've had with some Chinese recently. I get the sense that this little scheme is working because they're telling me how and I just to put things in perspective. It was around a time I did the show on the specialized high school examinations here in New York City, where the NAACP, Legal Defense, I don't know what the progress is, they initiated a lawsuit against the Department of Education, accusing it of, in essence, being party to a discriminatory practice whereby anti-discriminations become the definitive as to whether the child gets accepted into schools like Brooklyn Technical High School, Stuyvesant High School, Bronx High School of Science, and a number of others, a few others in New York City. She mentioned there are a lot of fine high schools that are not actually specialized high schools, like Bedford Academy, Benjamin Banneker, Midwood. In this conversation, made the comment, well, while we're known and renowned for doing well in science and math, we're not really well rounded. And I was quite puzzled why this person would make that come to that conclusion. But then I understand that who we're dealing with, that when they pretend to be so altruistic and so concerned about what they see are three faces of Black and Latino students, I think what they're really looking at is that they see the Asian students in general as a threat to their world supremacy. So, what better way, than to, in this warfare, than to pretend that the concern is for Black and Latino students? I remember reading a few years ago an article where, Caucasians, white people were complaining about how the Chinese were outstripping them in academia. So I kind of look at this from a different point from many. And that's why the title of this show, well, Yo Mama, Part 2, from last year, we did Part 1, An Attack on the Tiger Moth. Briefly, I'm sure most of you by now have learned of the murder of the grandson of Minister Malcolm Shabazz, Malcolm X, Shabazz, or Omar Wale, Ali Shabazz, murdered in Mexico. According to the story, he was robbed and pushed off a building. And was the son of Kabila Shabazz, Malcolm's second oldest daughter, the one as fresh on memory, was involved in a plot to assassin Minister Park. That'll be back in 94, 95. And in 97, he set a fire in his grandmother's home, Betty Shabazz, and she was breath out, and she passed away. Then, according to what I've learned, after child trouble, he seemed to be getting things in order. he embraced Islam within this, the Shia perspective. And from what I've read, he had made, I guess, some Iran, which I guess kind of put him in the government's court. And he reported to some that accused the government of harassing him. I don't know. Make of that. But one has to wonder. I think those of us who cause those conscience or, you know, you know, I'm aware of the system, I guess it has to go through our minds. It's much bigger than what we hear of us went to Mexico and he got robbed and was pushed off a window. I mean, side of a building. I mean, that seems kind of strange. I mean, when you go on a roof, you know, suddenly some guy can rob him, you know, push him. But I don't know if we hit to the bottom of this. But, you know, I do think, you know, obviously, he's definitely going to seek our interest for some time. Yeah, I saw 2486 was on the queue. You can call back if you like. So we're going to talk about these things. Actually, even like setting up some things in my account here, my file here. I need to take care of, but and I will take a short break at some point. But you know, I want to just see what we like to talk about. I like to talk about today, you know, again, the murder. I received a phone call on Thursday evening. I don't know how this person found out, but he called me to tell me about the murder. And I think it has been established it was a murder. You know, was he a threat? Someone, no. And we have to accept the possibility that this was as it was reported to us. You know, a bunch of robbers. You know, to end his life. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I've never heard of this being a MO of a robbers. You know, shoot down, you know, off a building. You know, so I think we have to keep our eyes and ears open and not fall for the hype. Well, as a friend of mine says, fall for the okie doke. Have to be that type of mindset. Because things will be thrown at us. And we'll just accept it and take it and not, you know, and, you know, behave as normal behave. Normal behave. Pretty much, you know, no reaction. No type of inquisitiveness. I see 2486 is back on the queue. I'll get to you in a few minutes. That's, you know, that's that. I need to take a break. I'm going to play some, I think is relevant music. And then I'll get back to you. Okay, so once again, so let me go see if 2486 has anything to say. Hello, 2486, how are you doing today?
Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Fine, thank you, and yourself?
Good, fine. Any comments, questions at this point?
No, I'm just listening to your show.
Okay, no problem. I'll just enjoy. I'm going to take a small, slight break, and I'll be back on. response I received And after having a subsequent phone conversation, I got the sense that few who listened or few who spoke really grasped the gravity of what we were talking about when we spoke of dancing boys. No, these were not boys breakdancing or breaking. They weren't doing the hustle, the Lindy, the bump, or the roach. But they were dancing to an immoral tune of homosexual pedophilism. And it needs to be said that Muslims, as a rule, are saying very little, if anything at all. But on a larger scale, we will continue with this topic and the issue of rape in general. We spoke about India, and I think we kind of had a perspective as to why India seems to be targeted or reported on so much in recent months. But I learned that from the statistics, it's worse than South Africa. That's right, South Africa. And if I read it correctly, one out of every four females was violated in South Africa. Did the minority rule mentality have that sort of impact on the minds and souls of the males there? Was it that bad? But as I said earlier, we're going to talk about mothers. If you are on the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/NoDayForAlIslam, you see pictures of mothers. What about my mother? I have a picture of my mother on the site, which I thought was nice to have. I didn't have it last year. And then there's some pictures of mothers in different scenarios, what have you. And I'm hoping to get some more callers so we can once again continue this conversation. But I also want, as I said earlier, provide a little background about Mother's Day. There seems to be, I guess, some issue with some amongst Islamic scholarships in terms of whether Mother's Day should be celebrated by Muslims. And we'll talk about, I'll read what a scholar has opined, what it said, what he may call a ruling, but I'll just, give the respect that it is a scholar and has chosen to, express an opinion. I think that this type of dialogue is healthy, kept in proper context. I'm hoping to get some songs downloaded. I'm hoping to do. But I'm not going to play. I'll work with my mama. I like the song, but I'm tired of it. It's just become so cliche-ish. Say it right every Mother's Day. Okay? Now you're going to hear it tomorrow. You're going to hear, I always love my mother. She's my favorite girl. All right? Produced during the 60s and 70s by the Sound of Philadelphia. That was Gamblin' Huff. Sound of Philadelphia, that label, being famous to us New Yorkers for tunes like Love is the Message or some of the songs by the Three Degrees, Sound of Philadelphia. And, of course, you're not going to hear me play Manny by Al Jolson. That's for sure. But I would say that, regards to the other, I Always Love My Mother, it is a good song. It has good lyrics. I'm not going to knock the lyrics, knock the song at all. Because it does tribute to one of our favorite girls, being our mothers, whom we're told by the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, stands on the feet of the planet Paradise. You familiar with the saying, paradise lies at the foot of the mothers. And in fact, I recall reading a hadith that for those of us who do not have mothers, mothers have passed on, in a sense, our aunts become our mothers, afforded that place of, you know, respect. So I spoke earlier about the tiger mom syndrome, the tiger mom, the Chinese mother who is so determined for her children's success that they become overbearing, supposedly. Tough, hard. In fact, if you look at one of the images on the site, you see where I have a picture of a tiger, you know, like hovering over her child, or the child. You know, the characterization of this tiger mom, who we're led to believe is this, anyhow, it's so evil, so bad. For Chinese culture, Chinese people. And I'm going to read some articles, and I think you'll see my concern. I thought it was a formula for success, this tiger mom syndrome. And again, we spoke at length about the specialized high school examinations. And, you know, for what I'm told, you know, from Chinese, their parents tell them, you know, from childhood. And I'm speaking about New York now, of course, you know, New York City. You know, you are going to go to textiles at the Bronx School of Science. You're going there. It's drilled in. One may call this an extreme. You know, that was, you know, maybe it's too overbearing, but I think about what I think is fair to say the polar opposite of many of our people. I think it's safe to say that we're not really putting enough pressure on our children to excel, to surpass. We used to have this understanding that we had to be twice as good. But somewhere along the line, that got lost. And you look at the statistics, whether it's income, unemployment, we seem to be on a short end of the stick. So could it be that we should borrow something from this type of culture that seems to be so successful? And just for the record, the Bronx High School of Science, which is one of the, I'll say, the original three specialized high schools in New York City. One of its most famous alums is Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael. He went to Bronx High School of Science. And I would imagine going in the 1950s, there were very few black people there. So definitely he was definitely making a statement. I'm assuming he did well there, graduated from there. You know, he went to Howard University, of course. You know, he walked a certain path, and well, we know about him today. Remember him today. Stokely Carmichael, the kid, Kwame Ture, or vice versa. It would be reasonable to suggest that all Chinese attend these high schools, that all Chinese are scientists, engineers, or lawyers, but we all seem to have this positive stereotype that all Chinese are academically brilliant. It is a stereotype I would gladly trade for the images and perceptions of black people, especially our males. But while females are starting to go down to subpar, and you need to look further than YouTube if you doubt me, what I'm saying about some of the insane and sometimes outright savage behavior of our black, many of our black females. But as I said earlier, it seems that the spinmeisters and psychobabblists, as I call them, largely stemming from an envy of the success of the Chinese people, are starting right now an academic attack on the tiger moms. And as I said, even listening to instances of a Chinese female, quote-unquote, victim of a mother who only wanted the best for her and her siblings. Suddenly we read that the children of tiger moms are maladjusted and distant from their families, that they don't do well overall life. So I guess the alternative to this would be wayward, disobedient, incarcerated, incorrigible brats. Okay? Just the formula to counter this, you know, this tiger mom. So they need more of that in their culture. From where I stand, these slick academics are playing an underhanded game of chess, whereby they seek to remove the protective hedge from the Chinese family so that they do not compete with or excel or surpass their children. And they will settle at nothing to construe, manipulate, deceive what they see as the greatest opposition to what they perceive as the greatest threat to continued supremacy, worldwide supremacy. So, in a real sense, I am using the topic of mothers and Mother's Day to get you to understand and appreciate within the world stage, especially as you see China becoming a major influence and economic power here and in Africa in particular, about the role of a mother and how this role is being challenged. We can discuss about mother in a very, you know, lovely, and you know, a lot of us are going to go to dinner or breakfast tomorrow with our mothers a whole bit. But I want people to understand that there are others who are always awake. And Satan's always busy. See, and I hope that the Chinese understand this. I hope they understand that they are under attack. So, Mother's Day. Got an article. Yesterday. Okay. Mother's Day. Observed by many countries. It's not considered to be a religious holiday. Significance, honors mothers and motherhood. The date, the second Sunday of May. And interestingly, even though it's not considered to be a religious holiday, it's the fourth Sunday of Lent. So that in itself is an interesting dynamic. So let me read a little about this day from a historic standpoint. Mother's Day is a celebration honoring mothers and motherhood, maternal bonds, and the influence of mothers in society. It is celebrated on various days in many parts of the world. Most common in March or May. It complements Father's Day, a similar celebration honoring fathers. Oh, really, when? Oh, he had peep for Father's Day. But that's not a problem. It's not a problem. According to the Prophet Muhammad, prayer and peace be upon him, you know, he was asked, so who do I love? It's your mother. He asked the question two more times. The answer was your mother. And then the fourth time, he said your father. So I don't mind a little more love for the mother. But I do want to emphasize, I think it is an incorrect interpretation when I hear people say we have three times as much as our father. I think that's a misinterpretation. Because first of all, how do you qualify that? How do you qualify, you know, people three more times? So then, you know, then the you know, then the thing. So I think that needs to be somewhat of a perspective. But though I can appreciate the context of this statement. So apparently it's celebrated in even Muslim countries. Go on here. The modern holiday of Mother's Day was celebrated in 1908 when Anne held a memorial for her mother in Grafton, West Virginia, and began a campaign to make Mother's Day a recognized holiday in the United States. Although she was successful in 1914, she was already disappointed with this commercialization by the 1920s. Wow. We should have full force today. Driver's holiday was adopted by other countries and is now celebrated all over the world. In this tradition, background noise. In this tradition, each person offers a card or remembrance towards their mothers, grandmothers, and or maternal figure on Mother's Day. Various observances honoring mothers existed in America during the 1870s and 1880s, but these never had resonance beyond a local level. Jarvis never mentioned George Howe's attempts in 1880s to establish a Mother's Day for Peace, nor any connection to the Protestant celebration that included Children's Day. I remember I asked my mother one day, years ago, when is Children's Day? And she said, every day is Children's Day. Yeah. Neither did she in the traditional festival of Mothering Sunday. She always said that the creation is alone. For more information, I'll read some of the dates around the world here. I'm a surprised. We'll see now. March 3rd, March 8th, I guess you have Georgia, the country of Georgia, Afghanistan, Azerbaijan, Bulgaria, Macedonia, Russia, Slovenia, Serbia, Tajikistan, Vietnam, Moldova, Romania, Herzegovina, Kosovo, Albania. A lot of these are Muslim populations. Okay, the fourth Sunday in Lent, March 18th, last year. This year, March 10th, 2013. Next year, March 30th, 2014. Ireland, Nigeria, United Kingdom. 21st, or Bunbox. Bahrain, Kuwait, Libya, Palestinian Authority. I'll just say Palestine. Thank you. Korea, United Arab Emirates, Yemen, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Mauritania, Iraq, Egypt, Jordan, Somalia, Sudan. I guess May 5th of this year, May 4th for next year, Slovenia, Armenia, Hungary, Mozambique, Spain, Lithuania, May 10th, South Korea, Mexico, El Salvador. Well, I'm not going to keep reading on. Obviously, a lot of ground. In terms of religion now, in the Roman Catholic Church, the holiday is strong, associated with the reverence, the veneration of the Virgin Mary. They allowed to feast with her. In many Catholic homes, families have a shrine devoted to the Blessed Mary. Many Eastern Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches, a special prayer service is held in honor of the Pocos Virgin Mary. In Hindu tradition, it's called the Mata Tirtha Onshi, or Mother Pilgrimage Fortnight. In some of the countries with a Hindu population, especially in Nepal, The holiday is observed on a new moon day, month of Vaisakh, April, May. Celebration is based on the Hindu religion, and it predates the creation of the Western-inspired holiday by at least a few centuries. Let's read the Arab world, presumably Muslims, the Muslims in the Arab world. We'll see. Mother's Day in most Arab countries is celebrated on the 21st of March, on the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. It was introduced in Egypt by journalist Mustafa Amin in his book, Smiling America, 1943. The idea was overlooked at the time. Later, Amin heard the story of a widowed mother who devoted her whole life to raising her son until he became a doctor. The son then married and left without showing any gratitude to his mother. Hearing this, Amin became motivated to promote Mother's Day. The idea was first ridiculed by President Gamal Abdel Nasser, but he eventually accepted it, and Mother's Day was first celebrated on 21st of March, 1956. The practice has since been copied by other Arab countries. When Mustafa Amin was arrested and imprisoned, there was some attempt to change the name of the holiday from Mother's Day to Family Day, as the government wished to prevent the occasion from reminding people of its founder. These attempts were unsuccessful, and celebrations continued to be held on that day. Classic songs celebrating mothers remain famous to this day. We can see this definitely took on a political dimension. The Mother's Day. I had no idea the implications. You know, Mother's Day in Afghanistan. Mother's Day was celebrated from 12 June 2010 on the second Sunday, Saturday in June. Since it was celebrated, so I don't know. Things have changed, you know, since in the past maybe, you know, 10 years. You know, with the power of the Taliban, and though they've been removed from power, I would say that Afghanistan is a lot more Islamically conscious than it was, say, before Taliban, took over in 1996. Mother's Day is celebrated on the second Sunday of the month of May. Observance of the day discussion programs are organized by government and non-governmental organizations. Reception programs and cultural programs are organized to mark the day in the capital city. Television channels air special programs, and newspapers publish special features and columns to mark the day. Greeting cards, flowers, and gifts featuring mothers are in high demand at the shops and markets. Oh, again, you know, obviously each country has its perspective and its own, way to celebrate. But I do think it's safe to say that no matter one's view, perspective, you know, we do need to always remember mother. And we should love and honor her, respect her, days of our lives. The Holy Quran, we're told, reference the womb of that was. And if I'm not mistaken, I've heard this before, and I'm sorry I didn't do follow-up research, one of the attributes of Allah in the Quran, in Quranic Arabic, Rahman, the root of that word is also in womb. Womb is a similar form of Rahman, in English, R-A-H-A-R-A-H-A. And Rahman, similar in Hebrew, that similar attribute, the Hebrew equivalent, meaning womb. Learn in the Bible, honor thy mother and thy father, let your days belong in the earth. But I'm going to right now read an opinion from a scholar, a Muslim scholar. I don't know the scholar's name, but I think it's in light of the origin in Muslim Arab countries, I think it's worth looking at. It's called The Ruling Concerning Celebrating Mother's Day. Question. Every year we have a holiday on a church day, and it's called Mother's Day. It occurs on March 21st, so obviously they're talking about the, in the apple. Right. All people gather and celebrate on that day. Is this permissible or forbidden? This is the answer. Every holiday or celebration, Sharia celebrations, is invented, innovation, that's known in the time of the pious person. First of all, it may have begun as an invitation of the non-Muslims. Therefore, in adding in addition in innovation, it may be them and enemies of Allah. Sharia holidays are well known among the Muslims. They are Fitra, Eid al-Adha, and weekly Eid or Fridays. There's no holiday or festival in Islam other than those three. Holiday that is invented besides them the rejected innovation and falsehood in the Sharia. This is because of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every introducing affair that does not belong to it is rejected. That is, it is rejected from that person will not be accepted by Allah. Another word, hadith states, whoever does a deed that is not what Allah fears upon will have it rejected. Since that the holiday that is mentioned by the questioner, Mother's Day, is not allowed. It's not allowed during any such day, any kind of public display, happiness, gift, giving of presents, so forth. It's obligatory upon a Muslim to have pride in his religion. He should limit himself to what Allah and his messenger have restricted upright living to be. Two, this religion Allah is pleased to have his servants follow. There can be no addition in those numbers. Furthermore, should not be a kind of weak person very Tom, Dick, and Harry. He personally should be that defined by the law of Allah, such that he is followed and he becomes an example and not a disciple. This should be the case because the law of Allah, praise be to Allah, is complete and is perfect in all respects. Aspects. Allah says in the Quran, this is perfect for you, your religion for you. He has put upon you and chosen for you Islam as your religion. Furthermore, the mother has much more right than the day, the year as a celebration for her. In fact, the woman has the right to her children that they will look after and obey her, which is not sinful, during all times and in all places. So I just shared. And I know, the head of that problem that I'm not intending to get into a discussion, but since we're discussing Mother's Day, I am looking at an issue of this celebration. I'm looking at all of these things, being as open-minded as I can be. So right now, Paul is right now. I'm just going to check to see if is that anything for 2486. 2486? Hello? Hello, 2486? Hello? Any comments yet? Any questions? 2486?
Oh, no, I'm just still listening.
Okay, no problem. Okay, all right. So, I'm going to now go back to the Tiger Mom issue. The article, CNN, especially CNN, by Kim Wong Keltner. I want you to understand this now. Kim Wong Keltner. Okay? Editor's note, Kim Wong Keltner is an author, most recently, of Tiger Baby Strike Back, a nonfiction about the parenting style of tigers. When I was a kid, I was obedient and quiet. I automatically knew that talking too loud, making a fuss, or being assertive would never fly. I did what I was told. I was a Chinese girl. I adhered to my parents' wishes that I get top grades and perform well in activities they had chosen for me. But after all the hours of homework, bullying the parent afternoons, and practicing arpeggios on the piano to perfection, 4 hours of Chinese school at the regular school, Chinese calligraphy lessons with toothbrush and sticky ink, after the chores, basketball practice, and memorization of Chinese poems, eventually I wanted to feel known for myself, not just my accomplishments. In the song In My Room, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys sang, "Through my dreaming and my scheming, laughter yesterday." Obviously, he wasn't Chinese. When you are a kid in hyperdrive, daydreaming and lying on your bed doing nothing doesn't fit into the schedule. It didn't occur to my parents to ask for my opinion. That might promote individual thinking. And thinking for oneself is not part of the plan. Chinese culture emphasizes acting according to your place in your family. You are the number one son, third daughter, fifth wheel, maybe just another mouth to feed. Everyone has a part to play, and if you don't like the role you've been given, the mandate is still don't make trouble. Don't make trouble, and you study like crazy, because in the really old days, passing the imperial exams was on. The only ticket out of poverty. And since the time of Mao Zedong, individuality is considered counter-revolutionary. Speaking up about injustice could get you and your whole lot exiled. Sure, many Asian Americans have served generations away from these threats or threats. Yet some collective memories don't ever seem to fade. Chinese parents who rock the Tiger Mother style to cling to the remnants of the old world by expecting obedience above all else, and stifling true creativity in favor of tried and true benchmarks of success. Perfect grades, best test scores, admission to the top colleges. What's so bad about that? To earn straight A's for 2 decades in a row, I learned to detach from my own emotions and physical body. I disregarded my cramping fingers, tired eyes, and grumbling stomach. Having fun with friends had to wait. Through consistent pressure to succeed, I learned that human connections were an obstacle and distraction. The only semblance of approval I received was when I won an award or had a perfect report card. Achieving the best was the only goal, and it didn't matter if the pursuit of perfection required I ignore or step over someone else. All that mattered was the A. After so many years of performing like a robot, by age 25, a lot of kids who grow up like me have no idea how to connect with other people. We never bonded with females in endless games of kick the can or went to birthday parties or listlessly congregated in the halls with the bad kids, quote-unquote bad kids. We knew better than to waste a time like that. Plus, you might catch stupid that way. As the children and grandchildren of immigrants, we may not have been starving for actual food, but we starved for affection. In the pursuit of high achievement, our feelings got left by the side of the road. Our emotions mistaken as unnecessary baggage. Maybe our parents who escaped war and poverty never expected that led in the journey be with the emotional availability and a sense of humor as flotation devices. As for me, the anxiety and loneliness of the childhood that I described in my book, Tiger Baby Strike Back, has caused an uproar in my family. It's the roar of a Chinese kid saying enough is enough. It's me as a Chinese person saying I want to be seen as an individual. The world sees stereotype of waitress, sees stereotypes of waitress or tiger mom. But even with my ethnicity, I'm also supposed to fit into the box, that of an obedient child. I'm a 43-year-old writer and mom, raising my kid with more hugs and affection than I had ever had. Growing up in San Francisco, with taking trips to Chinatown, I interacted with newly arrived Chinese as well as third and fourth generation Asians who spoke without accent. But no matter what our ages or how Americanized we were or were not, everybody seemed to know that nothing good could come from stirring up the melting pot. The fact that I am now purposely making trouble has opened up a Pandora's box. My parents, brothers, and other relatives are stumbling around trying to stuff my words. Anecdotes and remembrances of the past back to the locked Chinese box, but it's too late. While we were cramming to learn English or Mark's Mandarin, we forgot to learn about the vocabulary of the foreign language of our feelings. We don't know the words for I'm sorry or even I love you. But now I have stirred the pot a little, or if not lost. I remember that when Pandora opened the box, there was one tiny thing that was allowed to fly out into the world, and that was hope. What's your opinion? So far, no one's called. I keep on talking. I'll tell you mine. This is a brainwashed Chinese woman. Of course, you recognize that there are no perfect societies and perfect situations. But, and I'm telling you, I'm looking at that last name, Kelter. That says it all. She has accepted the standards of a people who do not want her people to succeed. And I'm laughing to myself that with success, she finds reasons to complain. As a child, she's supposed to be obedient. Well, I help me out here. Help me out here. Since when are children not supposed to be obedient to their parents? Well, the Quran says we obey our parents unless they have us do something which is against Allah, which has associated products with Him. So I'm scratching my head. Well, obviously, when I'm talking about a Islamic society in this case, or Islamic Chinese society, and I venture to believe that if anything, this type of enculturation predated Tao. I would suggest to you that it was rooted in Confucianism, which I understand is one of the philosophies that Mao himself tried to do away with. Okay? And, you know, as something old school and counter-revolutionary. So I want to laugh when I hear this, I don't want to say it on the air, equivalent of a, what you call an Oreo. This is what I see. What I see is that this woman, obviously we can always talk about the things that we could do to improve, and I'm not suggesting that we not hug our children. We should hug our children. We should. But this thing about, well, I hang out with bad children, you call that some type of deficiency? Some type of, shortcoming? Was your parents had you study? Play piano? Play basketball? You had some type of sports activity? I can tell you this is very much a jaundiced, distorted view. I do not believe this is real. Okay? And I think that she's playing right into the trap, right into what I just said earlier. That there is a movement amiss, an effort amiss, to undermine the Chinese family. Again, not saying that, you're talking about polar opposites. Maybe this could be an extreme. So a little more hugs. Of course, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to do? My 10-year-old son, 10-year-old daughter. Oh, sometimes you don't know what you want to do. And also, at the end of the day, when we become an adult, you're able to, make your own decisions. So I was looking over here. Something else that kind of caught my eye. And the day before Mother's Day in America, and this attack on the mother. Had no idea how to connect with other people. What the heck is she talking about? How did she define connect? I mean, were they irascible to people? Were they nasty to people? Did she not know how to, speak and talk? I don't understand this. You know how to connect with people. What people are you referring to? What people is she referring to? No, this is just astounding. This is just incredible to me. But again, I'm telling you, the Chinese community better get wise and understand that this is how these people work. Okay, this is just the MO. Okay, I mean this is amazing. This is another, and this is a in her controversial battle hymn of a tiger mother, Yelp of Law Professor Amy Chua sent her draconian parenting methods. So right away, you see the subjectivity of this author, Lynn Alphanese, senior editor of Yahoo Shine. Okay? Explaining how being a controlling Chinese-style parent drives Asian American children to succeed in ways that permissive Western-style parenting does not. But a recently released decade-long study of 444 Chinese-American families showed that the effect tiger parents have on the kids is almost exactly the opposite. Almost also enshrined the opposite of a tiger mom, leaving the children behind. Okay. When Chua's book came out in 2011, Soo Young Kim, an associate professor, sounds like she might be Korean, of human development and family sciences at University of Texas, had already been studying the effects of tiger parenting on hundreds of Chinese and American families for more than a decade. Her report, The Tiger Parenting, Parenting Profiles of Chinese Americans and Adolescent Development Outcomes, was recently published in the Asian American Journal of Psychology. Compared with the supportive parenting role, a tiger parenting profile was associated with lower GPA, educational attainment, as well as less of a sense of family obligation. Kim explained in her report, it was also associated with more academic pressure, more depressive symptoms, and a greater sense of alienation. Bottom line, tiger parenting doesn't produce superior outcomes in kids, she concluded. And everybody expect, you know, okay, Ken Wong Kelton, author of Tiger Baby Strike Back, knows personal experience how detrimental a real tiger mom upbringing can be. I don't have scientific hard evidence, told Yahoo Shine in an interview on Thursday. Her book came out on April 30th, based on her own experiences. But I'm 43 years old. In my entire life, I've met Asian kids who are under so much pressure or so ashamed that they got a B, because no matter how they tried, they felt they could never measure up. So I guess these people became psychotic, and they became, you know, just completely just mentally, spiritually destroyed and debased. You know, maybe I should read these books. Maybe I should talk to the authors, have them on the show. Because I'm telling you, this, to me, is just one of the steps that they are, again, enacting to undermine the Chinese family. And again, I'm not going to say, because I did ask someone yesterday about that, very accomplished academic, academically, and professionally, professional, accomplishments. And the person said to me, well, my parents were not tiger parents. I didn't tiger mom. All right? So I'm surmising from that, you know, she was given a little more individuality and freedom, quote unquote. But she said to me that all the ones that I know have had the mom doing quite well. So, and obviously, it gets to how do you better success, you know, spiritual success, you know, material success, and how do you measure success. But I can say I know how you measure failure. And again, we're talking about a standard here, a standard. You know, they have a high bar, high expectation. You know, okay, all right, okay. And I don't believe for a minute they were that devastated for life because their parent didn't really, you know, respond favorably to a B. You know, if you feel your child can do better than a B to get an A, so they can do better, why not, make that known to them. And these are people who understand that this world means business. And, well, I grew up Chinese. I grew up Chinese. But one thing I can tell you, strange enough, one of the other things that is drilled into Chinese children by their parents speaking of Mother's Day, all right, of course, you know, Father's Day is relevant as well. If you look at that, you know, it made the type of connection or the peripheral, you know, association. Oh, my gosh, what happened? A Chinese child, will take care of their parents until the parents die. They will take care of their parents. Stereotype? That's one of them. They will take care of their parents. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I guess we should be upset and, you know, conduct studies and what have you. It's why Chinese children feel pressure to take care of their parents. They should be allowed to be individuals and have the option of taking care of their parents. You know, this is just absurd. This is absurd. But, you know, we allow this. Well, hopefully they would allow it. I wish the majority or a large center of black people had the reputation of being brainiacs. I wish. And perhaps we'd not be in a situation today where our so-called friends wanted to help us, right, under this supposed concern about us failing, not doing well in these specialized high school exams. I can tell you, you go to Stuyvesant Bronson School of Science, Brooklyn Tech, okay, there's a lot of Chinese. When I got the text, one of the first things I noticed, I was like, man, I saw so many Chinese. I mean, granted, growing up in New York City, you know, we knew Chinese, you know, elementary school, junior high school. Because for the most part, a lot of them, you know, their parents owned the old hand laundries, as you used to call them, the hand laundries. So they lived in the neighborhood. You know, they lived, but they worked. You know, they had the store, you know, on a ground level, and they lived upstairs. And they sent their children to, you know, school with us. We knew some Chinese, but there's a whole lot, you know, Brooklyn Tech. So I guess what is his name? I want to get this name right. Kim Wan Keltner. I guess she's more comfortable with those stereotype of restaurants. I guess she'd be more happy. We need more Chinese restaurants then. I mean, what I see, I could be wrong, that person, that family, that father, that own a hand laundry, okay, right, own a restaurant, says, I'm making a sacrifice so that my children have an option not to work at a restaurant and not to work in a hand laundry. For the most part, not pretty much out of existence, not long existence, the hand laundries. So yes, I'm going to card. Yes, it's time to have fun. I don't. This is a betrayal. This is a turncoat to home people. When I read this article, I call the way I see it. How in the heck can you say something like this? Yes, of course, you can fine-tune certain areas. You can fine-tune. I can tell you these parents love their children, want the best for their children. And that all Chinese go to Tech, establish a practical science. It doesn't happen that way, you know. But yet, we're talking about, and I say success. And I am refuting these so-called findings by alienation. I mean, help me out. They seem to have family, close family ties. What I see, my observation, that you see generations, same home, that this whole issue of revering the ancestors, revering the elders, you revere elders. What is he talking about, alienation? This culture reveres the elders. What's up to the elders? Well, they have to have a choice with other their elders. Sorry, it's called culture. And it will mix with who you are to a great degree. Individuality has its merits. It does. But when you're looking at a nation, looking at an objective, a movement, you have to have a common thread. That's your culture, a common mores, which are basically, there's no compromise. So I just don't get this. I don't understand this. I really don't. Again, www.blogtalkradio.com, /A New Day for Al-Islam. I'm going to see if... So 2486, how you doing so far? 2486, how you doing? So how are you enjoying the show so far?
I'm enjoying it. I like what you read about Kepler.
Yeah, Keltner. Anwang Keltner. Keltner.
That was quite interesting.
I'm sorry?
I said it was interesting.
Yeah, I know. Again, you know, obviously, many of us are Chinese people. We have friends, coworkers. And again, you seem to need to be pretty sociable, you know, and can get along with people. And so I'm not understanding this. Yeah, I'm not understanding where she's coming from. Because if I take her statement at face value, Chinese, because of this trauma, you know, they've experienced, cannot associate and socialize with people. Cannot, engage into meaningful relationships with people. And I'm not seeing this. So, again, I have to look at this person as a tool, as a traitor to her people to undermine an important fabric to her people's success. Right? You know, I didn't read the book, but I read the article. And it seems to me that she is brought into this notion of the extreme individuality to the extent that, you know, we have no sense of what makes one Chinese or a member of a family. I'm sorry, even within a family, you have certain standards. I don't know if you have children or you have a husband, but the reality is that there are certain family standards that one holds up. Yes, there's a certain type of leeway for individuality, because recognize that we have differences, you know. You have some ingrained differences in us. So we have to appreciate that. We have to appreciate a level of individuality. And sometimes it's healthy. Sometimes individuality that one is able to express and embrace allows one to help the overall whole, to help the family or the culture. But either way, you're still helping the culture. You're helping a entity itself. So I just find it really, crazy. And I'm quite sure that she'll get on all the talk shows. I'm sure she has already. And I think she needs to understand how she's being used. I mean, I'm looking at this over here. I adhere to my parents' wishes that I get top grades and perform well in activities they had chosen for me. So, is that something to be seen of? Oh, boy. I tell you. This is amazing. Doing my dreaming and scheming, laughing yesterday. Well, and she's 43 years old now. Good gosh. They usually say in your 40s you start to learn wisdom in your 40s. And she's died sillier. She's gotten dumber in her 40s. Just trying to untie her people. But, you know, she could be the modern day Chinese Manny. I don't know. You know, in a more sanitized presentation. I don't know. What I have to do right now, I'm sorry? Did you get something? Did you get a comment?
Basically, when you think of the Chinese, you do think of their culture, and they do care their kids a lot differently than most cultures.
Yes.
And so maybe she's just more rebellious.
I beg your pardon?
I said, I'm thinking it's just more of being rebellious.
Yes. I'm missing the last part. You're beginning to see what? I'm sorry. You have some background noise also. It's hard to hear. You're beginning to see what?
I said, maybe it's more rebellious.
Oh, yeah, I think so. But as I said before, I think to look at this through a larger lens. We see right now that, I don't know if you heard my show last year on the first class high school examinations, okay, where in New York City anyhow, there's a large percentage of Asians, Chinese, Southeast Asia, okay, and African, who are passing to have much more success with these passing these tests than Black Americans or, you know, Latino Americans. So the feeling was that, therefore, the conclusion was, therefore, the process is discriminatory. And there should be other means to establish, you know, acceptance into the schools. I'm saying that we are being used as a human shield. That those who claim to be so concerned don't give a damn about Black people and Black people's progress. That they see their children not succeeding to the level. So therefore, they're saying, well, we had, you know, it's a very dishonest, very sneaky way of seeing more white children to go to these schools. So they use us. And that's why I said, we're just acting as a human shield. Oh, Blacks and Latinos aren't making these schools. And as I said before, we have a lot of good schools in New York City. A lot of good schools we have. Okay? Not just, the 10 that we have today. When I was younger, it was 3. But when I was younger, you had Dewey. You had Muscle. You had Midwood. You had entertainment school. You had music and art, performing arts. You had FIT. You had aeronautics. You had aviation. At Western House. You have Lincoln High School for the political science program. Erasmus had a music and art program, which I was accepted to. I didn't go, but I was accepted in the art program. So, obviously, we still hold high the political disciplines. We hold high mathematics, science. We hold that high. We do. We look up to doctors and scientists and engineers and lawyers even, okay? But not all Chinese are lawyers, doctors, and scientists. We should know this. But God forbid, this woman would probably blame their quote-unquote failure on the Tiger Mom. And I thought it fitting, the day before Mother's Day, talk about this type of mother. And I wish we had more Tiger Ma amongst our people. I wish we did. When we look at our results as a people, it's much wanting. Again, I go back to the statement from former President, then President Bush. The bigotry of low expectations. Now, these folks seem to have high expectations. Can anyone punish them for that? They have a high expectation. And again, we know no one's perfect but God. Obviously, if one does not make the mark, and they try, I mean, the one thing that I've told my children, that, you know, whatever age you get, as long as you try, if you try your best, that's all you can ask. When you don't try your best, when you goof off, you don't do your work, you don't do your homework, that's a problem. I mean, you know, we hear about the, you know, the Jewish community. They had school, what, 6 days a week? Okay? Restudy. I mean, I hear them complaining about them. I hear them talking about, you know, the tiger mom in the Hasidim community. You know, they have to pay attention to the Chinese community. They have to, and they not allow people like this Anne Wong Kelder to gather can gain such an audience. Because what she's doing is not really tempering, not tempering, and say, well, you know, we need to hold high standards, but some things can be modified or relaxed. She wants to undermine the whole thing. I see. Because at least reading the articles, she's painting a picture that this whole process is damaging to China's community. And instead of, well, we see success, by all standards of success, she's trying to get us to see it as a complete failure, and we should just do things with, you know, because I can tell you now what's in this also. And what's in this also is that there is a standard as far as how women behave, girls behave, how to conduct themselves. And I can tell you what's pushing on that we teach Chinese girls, teach the girls to act like girls here today. Just be loose. No standards of femininity and morals. So that's coming, I'm telling you. Because if you read the article I read earlier, you know, if you go back to that, she didn't apply to necessarily a girl. You know, wanting, you know, high grades the whole bit. Had a boys as well. But by emphasizing, I was a Chinese. She didn't say I was a Chinese child. I was a Chinese girl, as if though somehow. And she's trying to make a connection, a resonance, a feminist element. She's doing that. I got a call here, 2591.
Salaam alaikum, Tahita.
Oh, how are you, Tahita? Salaam alaikum. Good. Did you hear any of the show thus far?
Excuse me, my little ears were messed up this morning.
Uh-oh. Did you hear the show so far?
The show, yes. Yes, so far. What you I'm talking about?
And what's your any comments or the questions?
No, I just really got on. I didn't know what y'all was talking about.
I'm sorry.
I know so much is going on. I said so much things going on here.
Yeah.
I was wondering what y'all was talking about.
See, you know, I attended a conference a few months ago, education conference about I'm trying to call the exact title, but dealing with this whole syndrome. The public school to prison pipeline. It seems to disproportionately affect Black Latino males.
Mm-hmm.
So, based on that, for some reason, a lot of us end up in prison. We're getting suspended. Okay? And I'm saying to myself, and I asked a question, one of the panels. I said, because, you know, this whole thing about people, they run this people of color thing, you know, people of color. I said, well, what is their position? Chinese are people of color, not white. Indians, Pakistanis are people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Continental Africans are people of color. They tell me, what are they doing that we're not doing, whereby they'll find themselves in this proverbial public school to prison pipeline? And of course, interesting enough, no one even answered the question. I'm telling you, no one answered the question. They just sat there like clay pigeons. Okay? They sat there like clay pigeons, not answering the question. I think this is crazy. I'd love to take a quick break and play another tune. Tune I'm trying to find for a long time. So please hold on, and then when we get back, we'll get to Shahid. I see he's taking.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm back.
It's that
I'm back. I had to put Scoop Oasis on mute because there was some static in the background static. So, Shaheed, I see you on cue. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, Ahi. I'm doing well. Look here, before I start, I want to say I checked with the National Urban League. They didn't have any information, but I was interested. But I walk out the door, brother said, Rashid, what you doing? Assalamu alaikum. And I look around, and there's a brother I know, and I was telling him why I was there, because his daughter was at the Urban League at the same time. And he said, I had a flyer about that that information that you had mentioned.
What information? About what? I'm sorry.
About the solar energy.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. No topic here. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, listen, if you have information, please announce it.
He said he had a flyer, but he doesn't recall what he did with it. But he knew he called the brother who gave it to him, and the brother's gonna look into it. So I'll be getting back to you on it.
Good, and I will announce it on the show because anything that we can benefit from. You know, as far as solar energy, learning about it, technology, I want to have the information. You know, so
right.
Definitely, when you find out, please, I'll announce it.
All right.
So we're talking about mothers in general. I guess, I haven't done. I'm going to ask Sohita first. Sohita.
Yeah.
Sohita. Tell us about mothers. Your mother, motherhood. Give us some of your perspectives on that, please. growing old, your own mother, your grandmother, what have you, what did you learn about from her? What were your, some of your memories of your mother?
Well, one thing about was my mother, she's a great lady. She never had no problem with us. We listened to her. You know, I watched her. You know, some kids, you know, some children might be running around while she's doing something else. But her thing was, if she's in the kitchen cooking, her kids was always there watching. So a lot of these things I picked up from her, of my other siblings also. And I did the same thing with my children. So it's very important. Well, you know, well, they're our first teacher you learn from.
That's right.
The mothers, they're very, very important. You know, they just need to be honored them. You know, watch the, I always watch the.
Thank you. I'm going to ask quick.
Certain things I just wouldn't do, certain things I'm not going to say, you know.
Right. Now, so when I hear, I'm sorry. I 2486. You have anything to say about your mother, or if you are a mother, anything you have to say, want to say? 2486. Whose name I forget?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. You have anything to say about motherhood, your own mother, or are you a mother? You have anything on that?
I am a mother, and I'm blessed that my mom is still alive. She's 78.
Wow.
And she taught me, most importantly, is how to conduct myself and to be a young lady.
Hmm.
And she taught me how to be a mother to my son. So, definitely.
Yeah, we notwithstanding some of the opinion I read from an Islamic scholar, we will all agree that mothers deserve a place of honor. This is an issue and a difference in how one expresses that, you know, in a celebratory model, what have you. But, you know, those of us have our mothers, you know, we're fortunate. You know, my mother died a little pretty young, you know, and, you know, last year we had a discussion. William gave a very heartfelt account of his mother and the challenges, you know, growing up, you know, with her. And the closure they were able to, I guess, come to before she passed. His mother died. He was, I think, maybe 10, 11 years old. You know, that he was very young when his mother died. And, you know, something that you never forget, you know, unless you're too young to remember. You know, but I can tell you, after my mom passed in 86, I'd say a day hasn't gone by since that time that I've thought about it at least once. It has not gone by. Amazing. Every day I've thought about it. At least one time a day. What about you, Shahid? What are your recollections of your mother? Or your thoughts on your mother?
Well, my mother's deceased. Sometimes I wish she was still alive, but, you know, I got discharged from the military, got home one day, and she went into the hospital the next day because she had cancer, and she never came out. But I remember, you know, going to see her and everything. But my memories of her that I really think about is how she interacted with the family. She was always like, she was there working with her mother, you know, because we had to do what we had to do to survive in, you know, growing up in Barbados, and we took in wash and so on from the hotels and all that. And my mother, you know, she was always there working with my grandmother, and she was always planning. You know, because when we were born, we didn't have any electricity or running water in the house. You had to go to the local pipe, as it was called, or, you know, some of the wells that we had dug around the area. So I remember she planned to put, you know, sit down with the rest of the you know, the other siblings and planning to put in water and then electricity. I always remember that part. That part was coming back how she always planned. She was a very patient person. She was very patient and very family oriented, even though I think a lot of the others didn't see it or understand it. But as you grow older, you begin to see certain things, you know. See, she was very family oriented and, you know, I was planning to be a progress and to see that you had to succeed.
As I said earlier, you know, you look on a website, you see a number of images. One of them is my mother. Okay? When you look at the logo, or look at the Alice Brown, the next, the woman with the glasses, that's my mother. Right? Priscilla Taylor. You know, it's interesting, Shahida, you're from Barbados. And I don't know if you heard much of my commentary. Really, being annoyed. But I consider to be traitors. A traitor to our people. So this woman, you know, attacking a foundation of her culture, the Tiger Mom. But I remember, my mother told me that Barbadian parents were strict in education. Strict. Mom told me, you can confirm, or, you know, tell me, you know, how far off I am. There's nothing for a Barbadian parent to say, you know, chuck them home 99. Where's the other point? Where's the urgency? So that's what I hear. I heard about the parents from Barbados, that they did not play. When it came to, you know, education standards. Not to say that other parents did not have standards for their children. But I just find it unbelievably disturbing that you have a people we don't see, at least here in America. Obviously, in China, you have trucks in China. You have rich kids in China. Okay, so we're not to paint some type of sanitized view of Chinese working class. We have social issues. Delicious. But you can see those here in America who are gaining economic power in Africa, in America, in Canada. Okay? You know, are things that bad? I mean, I wish we had a stereotype. Those blacks are like bad on this, they're so smart. Really, schools are full of black people. We get to something about that. But it seems instead we tend to accept the self-fulfilling prophecy of failure. And we're concerned about sports, and rapping, and just the nonsense you see on YouTube. I made reference earlier to how our black females are lowering the bar, lowering our bar, their bar. You see YouTube fights with grown women being filmed. I mean, this is insane. Can I say this doesn't happen with Chinese? I can't say that. But they're not going to film this nonsense and disgrace their families and their culture. But this and Wong tell the divine to understand that a culture is precious. And to the extent that it's built and maintained, it's to be preserved. And it seems like she wants to just think in this way out the box, too far outside the box. Let's be all Western and modern, okay? And just look at individuality. And again, there's a place for individuality. But, you know, you have to recognize at some point, you have to go to some type of community. You have to take that idea to somewhere. I mean, if you're in business, you have to sell to a people, to a group of people. So you can't just say, well, I like this product that I invented. I like this. Well, no one likes it. You're not going to sell it. So either way, you turn to some type of culture, some type of, you know, group. You know, the song, outside of the song I played I played Joe Scott Heron. I've been trying to play songs that are mother themed. The song you heard earlier was "An Old Mother" by the late, great Dennis Brown. And I want to play another one right now, real quickly. This was a song by Paul Simon. And I know it was redone by a few people. I think one of them was, Ziggy Marley. But I want to play, little time we have left. I hope you hold on and listen. I want to play Mother and Child Reunion. Mother and Child Reunion. There's 11 minutes we have left on Critical Discourse. I hope you all who called in and those who have listened haven't called in are enjoying the show. I didn't have a lot of calls in the beginning, so it was difficult to really have this conversation about mothers that I like, but that's fine. We move on. You know, my mother. No joke. She taught me a lot. Goes without saying, I miss her. I miss her still. You know, she could be loving, she could be tough. You know, she was very, very inquisitive. She was a voracious reader. She's really into reading. And, you know, she had a, what I know, she had a very expanded scope of the world. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that she traveled when she was younger. She'd been to, I guess, some countries in the Caribbean. She'd been to Europe, to countries, Luxembourg, France, Germany, England. Took me, I was 1 year old, took me England. But, and I just kind of defined that she had a real expanded scope, you know, of the world. And she didn't just accept things on face value. And I think, to a great degree, that's where I get a lot of that trait in me, where I tend to challenge, you know, go against the grain on things. I remember in junior high school, I had the quote-unquote fortune of my mom being the PTA president. That was an interesting dynamic because, you know, the fact that she's a PTA president, you know, the teacher's like, you know, something, you know, we're in a lunchroom and everybody's talking and, you know, chatting. They call me out. They know who my mom is, you know, and you know, mom's going to, you know, she's going to get in my case, putting it lightly, if I, you know, get out of hand, you know. So that was an experience I didn't appreciate too much sometimes, you know. You know, but I remember last year, I went to a reunion with my junior high school, ISP 20. And, you know, some folks broke some memorabilia, you know. And I was really moved as my daughter, who was with me, as well as my wife, looking at our old yearbook. And I graduated in 1973 from B-20, as you call it. And there was a message in the 72 yearbook, a message from my mother to the graduates. You know, it was really nice, you know, to see that, you know, little memorabilia of my mother, you know, a little short message to the graduates from B-20 to past 72, you know. I really that was very very moving to me. But you know, there's a saying: get one mother. You know, and you definitely want to do the best you can to appreciate that and preserve it and maintain it and uphold it. But mothers have to do their part as well in being that parent as well as the father. But I only mention mothers because this is, you know, we're talking about mothers on the eve of Mother's Day. But this by no means suggests that we not give respect to the father. Because I tell you, look at our families today. What, 75% of our families are run by single parent households, family mothers? Many unwed. This is a problem. Now, I would say also this woman, Amy Wong Chotner, doesn't appreciate how good she has been. Because I'm sure in her family, her parents would have given. She had a mother and a father. And sometimes you have to see hell to recognize the heaven that you're in. I'm saying this woman and others of the ilk who would undermine and try to overturn what I see in many instances as success. You need to look at others, look at the black community, and see the insanity, the dysfunction. You talk about dysfunction, depression, alienation from parents? Are you kidding me? The first major study of pocket moms is out. The kids have worse grades, and they are more depressed and more alienated from their parents. Shucks! Are you kidding me? First of all, I challenge the study. I think it's a bunch of nonsense. I think it's objective. I think they got a control. It wasn't a random sample. And I guarantee the certain leading question for those people participating in the study. Because it's probably like, you know, some other give you enough hugs for you coming up. Did you find your mother to be overbearing? Did you find that you weren't appreciated, you know, for the things you tried? I guarantee these types of questions were asked. So it achieved two things. One, it got the child to almost like focus on, from a child's perspective, it got the adult now to focus from a child's perspective how hard things were for them. And from a child's perspective. But also what it did reinforced in this author, and it got them to actually project a worse income, a worse outcome, rather, than was reality. It got the child to see, to perceive that they were worse off than they were. I guarantee the questions asked were along that line. You know, wasn't it so bad when you were coming up? You know, rather than, well, tell me about your childhood. What are some of the good things that you learned from your parents? Because, again, reading this on the surface, I would hypothesize that trans parents are the worst parents on earth. They hate their children. They're distant from their children. And the children don't love and respect them because they haven't been made, like, become individuals and, you know, and toot their own horn. Well, I want to know what child, you know, you hear about, okay? Some people say, well, my parents didn't play music, play violin. I couldn't stand it. I hated it. I hated piano lessons. Some people became great pianists, great violinists. There's a man, Yasha Heifetz, was once, when I was coming up, playing violin, was going to be the best violinist in the world. And he got beatings in a practice of hours. In the best. What do you do? You don't say, well, you know, my parents were hard on me, and really I wanted to become, you know, wanted to become a plumber. I wanted to be a singer. Whatever the case may be. But the fact remains is that he became a standard. So sometimes the individual challenge that you perceive is there for a greater good, for the culture, for the collective community of people. There are 3 minutes left in the show. And I just want to thank you all. Any last comments, making quick, 2.6. Any last thoughts or comments or what have you? Tawhida, Shahid, anything you want to just quickly, say before we go off the air?
I'd just like to tell the young lady that's on the line also and your listeners, just have a very safe and wonderful Mother's Day.
Yes. Absolutely. To all of the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
For the past few weeks, I've been praying what I think is a motherly song. Having My Baby by Paul Anka. So the feminists hate it. But I think this speaks to this family dynamic of a woman having a baby and the joy she feels, the joy he feels. And she's having a baby, she's going to be a mother. So I think it is appropriate, you know, on this Eve of Mother's Day. And let us pray for the soul of Malcolm Shabazz. And by the way, I might as well say it, today is the birthday of Mr. Farrakhan. Mr. Farrakhan turns 80 today. Okay, and I figured I'd mention that. 80. This is Luke's Farrakhan.
Oh,
so I'm going to sign off and thank you all. Thank God for the opportunity to do this show and to present ideas and opinions. Assalamu alaikum.
Right. Waikum assalam.
Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying how much you love me. Having my baby, what a lovely way of saying what you're thinking of me. I can see it, your face is glowing. I can see it in your eyes, I'm happy. You're the woman I love, and I love what it's doing to you. Having my baby.